10 Reasons to Consider Bible College for Your Future is the ministry session we're about to hear from Dr. Mark Rasmussen. Dr. Mark Rasmussen serves as the Vice President of West Coast Baptist College and is world-renowned in the area of Christian education. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
But I want to share 10 simple reasons why I hope you'll consider Bible college. And we're a little bit too hot back there now, so that's a little better. Thank you. Before we do that, I want to have a word of prayer and tell you a little story. I have three children. I have two daughters who have graduated from West Coast. Amy is 27, Elisa is 25, and Elisa and her husband are going to be going to the Philippines as missionaries. And when Elisa was only 3 years of age, she loved to hear Bible stories at night. How many of you have a favorite Bible story? You got a favorite. If I were to ask you what's your favorite Bible story, what would be your favorite Bible story? Young lady right there in the green. Yes, ma'am? What's that? Story of Esther. That's a good one. How about you back there? Yes, ma'am? Party of the Red Sea. That's a good one. Who else has a favorite? Favorite? Yes, sir. You know what? That was her favorite, David and Goliath. I didn't know how long it would take me to get there, but we hit it. She loved to hear the story of David and Goliath. My daughter, Lisa, is about 5'8". She has naturally curly hair and big brown eyes. Every night she would say to my wife, I want to hear the story of David and Goliath. And night after night, my wife would tell her the story of David and Goliath, just time after time. And soon the days went into weeks, and the weeks morphed into months. And one day my wife decided to find out what she was learning. She said, Elisa, what are you learning from the story of David and Goliath? Elisa looked up with a big brown eye. She says, Mom, she said, we need to find bad people and kill them. And so although she knew what the story was, she wasn't really getting the right concept. Things like, is there not a cause, and things like that. And so today, you most of you know what Bible college is. And I'll tell you what it is, what it's here for. But I want you to understand this. You say, well, I don't plan on being a pastor, a missionary, a Christian school teacher, or married to one of those people. But Bible college is not only a great place to train to serve the Lord, it's a great place to find out what God wants you to do with your life. And when I was your age, I did not know what God wanted me to do with my life. In fact, I went off to a large liberal arts college, a college of about 5,000 people. I was majoring in business, playing sports there, enjoying it. And my dad said, son, I want you to pull out of college for 1 year and go to Bible college. Now, I recommend you do the Bible college year first. In fact, we have a one-year Bible certificate. And it helps you to find the direction God would have you to go. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 27, Eliezer said this. He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And young people, God will lead you. He wants to lead you in the right direction. But the question is, will you allow him to lead you? If I were to take a young man here, let's see, sir, why don't you come up here? You're sitting up straight. Yes, sir, right there. Come on up here for just a second. Don't worry, I won't embarrass you too much. All right, just kidding. Coming up here on the stage. What's your name? Titus, and I'm Dr. Rasmussen. Nice to meet you, Titus. If I get behind Titus right here, and Titus right now, he's allowing me to guide him in a certain direction. I stop, he's stopping. I turn him. He's allowing me to turn him. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you here think if Titus wanted to run away from me, he could run away? Yes. You know that I wouldn't chase him. He said, oh, this is driving me nuts. Runs out the door. I'd say, bye, Titus. And a lot of people run away from the guidance of God. Now, if I push Titus this way, I'm not going to. Do you think I'm going to hurt Titus? How many of you think I'm going to hurt Titus up here? How many of you want me to hurt Titus? You are sick people, okay? You are very sick people, okay? Do you want me to hurt Titus? No. Okay, thank you, Titus. All right. Now, I'm not going to hurt him. All right? I have his well-being in mind. Now, listen, God will never hurt you. He has your well-being in mind. So all you need to do is allow him to control you. Now, God is much bigger and stronger, but he will not force himself on you. I'm bigger and stronger than Titus. If Titus were to run off the stage right now, I'd let him go. But right now, Titus is letting me show him where to go. Go this way. Oh, we're going to go this way here. Now we're going to go back over this way. All right. Thank you, Titus. You go back to your seat. Appreciate that. Titus did it exactly right. I didn't know who Titus was before right now. You know what Titus did? He surrendered himself to my guidance. He allowed me to guide him. And that's exactly what we as Christians need to allow God to do in our life. Let's pray and ask God to help us these next few minutes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young people here today. I thank you for the fact, Lord, that they are willing to listen, and that they are willing to seek your will with their life. I pray that the 10 things we share in these next few minutes will be helpful and be a blessing to them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to move fairly quickly here, and the reason for that is because I know that you've got other things planned. I think we have another session after this. Let's see here. Yes, the next one is at 2:30. So we're going to get right on this here. So first thing here, number one, why do we consider Bible college? Well, first of all, it will grow you spiritually. If you have your notes there, it will grow you spiritually. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to use a lot of scripture because really what I say, young people, is not that important. But what the Bible says is very important, okay? So Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. God wants us to mature. The Bible says we don't just eat the milk of the Word, now we eat the meat of the Word. All right, there's a maturation process that's going on there. So we don't do the same thing. We see a situation here that God doesn't want us to stay as children. Now, I have a son who is the age of many of you in here. He's 17 years of age. He was singing in that group this morning. He was the tallest one right in the middle. He's about 6'1", and he's learning to grow up. He has a job. He loves to play basketball. He's in singing groups here. He plays the guitar and piano and things like that. And he's learning certain things. He's got a lot more things to learn. I'm 53 years of age. I have much more to learn. But one of the most important things is to realize there comes a time when you don't want to be a child anymore. When you want to lay aside childish things. I have a missionary friend who's here from the Philippines. His name is Ricky Martin. All right, Ricky Martin has a son, all right, TJ, who's almost 3. Do you know what TJ likes? This is not necessarily bad. It's not surprising. He likes SpongeBob. Now, I hope, though, there comes a point when you outgrow SpongeBob. Wouldn't you think it would be a little bit strange if I got up here and told you, guys, I am a huge fan of SpongeBob? You would say, what in the world? You would say, don't you think you ought to get a little bit past that now? By the way, there's a time when we lay aside cartoons and comic books, and we start reading things that will help us, edify us. By the way, the single thing that will help edify you the most is the Word of God. Did you read your Bible this morning? All right. My goal is the same as Brother Davidson's. I'm reading the Bible through twice this year. All right. I'm on my second time through. And I finished the first time through on June the 26th, a little bit ahead of schedule. That's something I want to do. By the way, I encourage everybody to read at least a chapter in Proverbs every day. Proverbs is a book that God will teach you wisdom from. By the way, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. God wants to give you wisdom. So first of all, we consider Bible college because Bible college will grow you spiritually. Number two, it will discipline you financially. It will discipline you financially. Now, this is very important for you to understand. There are certain things that can destroy you in life. Sin is a destroyer. The Bible says in James chapter 1, beginning verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Sin will destroy people. But do you know what else destroys a lot of people? I have 3 goals that I try to teach students here at West Coast Baptist College. I've been here almost the entire history of the school. I want to tell them, number one, to walk with God. Number two, I want to teach them to be soul conscious, to win people to Christ. Number three, I have a simple principle. If you don't have it, don't spend it. I have credit cards in my wallet. My wife and I have been married now for 29 years. You know what? We have never paid interest on a credit card. We've decided to discipline ourselves financially. We've never paid interest on a car. We've paid cash for every car we've ever owned. Now, we've only had one new car. But college will help you to discipline. All of a sudden, you've got a monthly bill you've got to pay. Actually, every 3 1/3 weeks comes a payment. College will have 10 payments over the course of the time you're in school. And by the way, let me say this. You could help yourself right now, by starting to save for college. That'll be a help to you, all right? You see, get some birthday money. Put away some of that. My son has a lawn business. He has about 25 lawns he mows. I make him give 20% to the Lord. You say, why 20%? Well, 10% is tithe, but God commands us to give a tithe and an offering. Now, the offering is, I just arbitrarily decided 10%. He gives that to missions. I then make him save 40%. I'm not going to say how much you should save, but you need to save. Right? Save, put it away. A wise man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Because all of a sudden, college will come, all of a sudden you're going to have to pay about $900 every month. The more you save, it gives you a head start on that. So college will help to discipline you. You must learn how to do that. America is being destroyed today because people are spending money they don't have. Right? It's a real problem. And guys, the world wants to tell you through advertising, through pictures, through your friends, that you have to have certain things to be happy. Happiness is a byproduct of just doing the right thing in life. It's not from having something new. You know, things that are new are only new for a very short time. It could be a suit. It could be a car. It could be a dress, ladies. It could be shoes. Oh, if I had those shoes, I would be so happy. For how long? For how long? There's nothing wrong with getting something you can afford, but it will teach you to discipline yourself financially. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute. By the way, one of the things God teaches us to do, when God gives us things, we learn to give it back. We want to be a blessing to other people. We like this little phrase here at Lancaster, see the need, take the lead. See someone who has a special need, you want to see how you can help them, how you can be a blessing to them. And when you do that, God will be pleased with that, and that will honor the Lord if you'll do that. So first of all, it'll grow you spiritually. It'll discipline you financially. Number three, it will broaden you relationally. This is dealing with your friends. You have your friends now in your school and in your church. All of a sudden, you're going to make friends from all across the country. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? You will find out that in most cases, your lifetime friends come from college. You know why? They're doing the same thing you're doing. I'm leaving town Thursday morning early to preach, and I'm going to be out of town for about 9 days. I fly back here to speak at our church on the 25th. But then the next weekend, I'm going on vacation. But while I'm on vacation, I'm going to be preaching at a church. It's a Calvary Baptist Church in Banning, California. Would you like to know why I'm preaching there? That guy was my roommate in college in 1977, long before you guys were born. We're long-term friends. You make friends in college. It broadens you relationally. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This friend of mine, who's a pastor there, called me up and asked me for advice as recently as last week. He was actually on vacation with his family in Seattle. He said, hey, I need a little help with this. And he was asking for some advice on something. And I try to be helpful for him. By the way, why is it important to have good friends? Well, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9, that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's good to have friends. The gentleman doing the sound back here has been a friend to me for a number of years here. How long have you attended church here now? Since 2002. Not as long as I've been here, but he works out at Edwards Air Force Base, and he's got a home. He's allowed me to put people in the home who are here visiting. He's just been a friend. I remember, whenever I think about you, we had a special night honoring hunters, and he lived in Alaska for a period of time. They shot some white sheep, and somebody knocked one of these white sheep head mounts off the bleachers and broke a horn. I'll never forget you having a good spirit about that. I would have wanted to kill somebody. I wanted to kill somebody. It wasn't even my sheep. It was a beautiful sheep mount, and one of the horns got busted off. He taught me something. I learned something from my friend there. Say. And that's a good. I've seen him drive buses here, having a servant spirit there. Those are good things. You learn from other friends. Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 12, that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So you get strength from your friends. Number four, why else to consider Bible college? And I'm going to give you a little time to ask questions at the end, so I want you to be thinking as we go here. It will strengthen you personally. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I was training some people in Kentucky about a week ago. It was a pastoral staff of a church. They brought me in to train them. And I used this verse, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. Now, for example, I know this week, these couple days, I'm not going to get the exercise I usually get. I try to use an elliptical, certainly did yesterday, for 30 minutes in the morning. Last night, I didn't get home till after midnight. I had to be back here at school at 7:30 this morning. So I know enough physically that if I'm not going to get exercise today, I better watch maybe some of my carbs. So I just had lunch with Pastor Chaplin, Dr. Ouellette. They had cheesecake. They had rice. I didn't eat that, right? Because of reading some books that deal with the physical. But the Bible says this in Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom, that's mental, stature, that's physical, favor with God, that's spiritual, favor with man, that's social. And when you learn certain things, you will make some right decisions because you've learned certain things. Bible college will help you to make right decisions in a different variety of different areas. It will strengthen you personally. I think most of us would agree that it's better to be strong than it is to be weak. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? And a strong person is not going to be as easily defeated as a weak person. I think we understand that as well. Bible college will help to strengthen you. It'll help to make you stronger. By the way, why do we want you to be stronger? Because we want you to serve the Lord someday. It was Joshua who said in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Well, if you're going to serve the Lord, will you do it with strength? Will you have strength as you serve the Lord? Right? Or are you going to be a weak Christian? You know that if you only watch SpongeBob and that's your intellectual and your spiritual food, you're going to probably be a pretty weak Christian. Now, Brother Ricky Martin, whose dad is the famous missionary Rick Martin, it's fine for his 3-year-old son to watch SpongeBob. But guys, your age, I hope that some of you will buy Brother Schmidt's book, Discover Your Destiny. I think it's the single best book ever written for teenagers. It's in our bookstore here. Discover Your Destiny by Carrie Schmidt. That will strengthen you. That'll make you a better person. And you want to grow yourself so you can grow, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 5, it will stretch you academically. All of a sudden, some of you come from maybe a homeschool environment, some from a Christian school environment, maybe a public school. All of a sudden, there will be some better students possibly than you. Now, maybe you'll be the best student. We had a girl graduate last year from Illinois. Her name was Monica Bass. Monica Bass never got an A- in any class her entire time in college. That's only the second person ever to do that in the history of our school. The other was a young man from Australia named Jesse Young. She graduated with a 4.0. All of a sudden, you're going to be with a lot of people. Now you say, oh, I'm not doing too good in school. Don't worry. God will give you the strength you need. God can help you. His grace is sufficient. The Bible does say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But you know, I had lunch up there in the pastor's office a few moments ago. There was a businessman there. I was telling him about books I've read. Those books, I'm going to try to get one of those books for him while he's here. I'm going to try to be a blessing to him and an encouragement to him. And if I can do that, by the way, you want to hear about a lot of books in college. You're going to hear a lot of teachers. You want to find out what books influence them, what books help them. And you want to grow. Let me encourage you right now, young people, to be a reader. Right? Don't just waste away your time in front of the TV or Facebook. Right? Don't waste a lot of time. The Bible says this. Let me quote the scriptures. I'll use what the Bible calls the pattern of sound words. Think about things that are true, just, lovely, of good report. Think on these things. Is that what the Bible says? So is it good? And I have a little acronym I use when speaking about people. And the word is think, T-H-I-N-K. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If it doesn't fit in those categories, I try not to say it. I travel about 100 days a year. I've had the privilege of preaching in 46 different states in our country and numbers of foreign countries. People talk to me, they say, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? See, all I'll say is, you got to pray for him. I'm not going to chime my 2 cents in. You think about that word think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If it doesn't fit that, maybe we ought not to say it. And you will be challenged here at West Coast Baptist College to say the right things, to encourage one another. By the way, the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 21. The Bible says, the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. How many of you have a younger brother or sister at home? Would you raise your hand? I have 6 of them. I'm the oldest of 7 children, okay? Be kind to them. You say, well, you don't know what they're like. They're little stink bombs, all right? Be kind to them anyway, because the Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what the Bible says. So God wants you to be kind. So it'll stretch you academically. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 1, that a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. When you learn, it helps you to make right decisions. Everybody look up here for just a moment. And I want you to grasp something here that I hope will be a help to you. Your decisions and my decisions are only as good as the information we base them upon. A lot of times people make wrong decisions. Okay? They make the wrong decisions. You know what? They haven't put the right information in. I use a GPS when I travel. I just got off the road. I've been gone the last 6 weeks. I just got back 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Came back a day early to preach a funeral. And when I got there, one time we were looking for church, and the guy looked up. In fact, it was just Friday. It was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was looking for Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Remember the name of the church? And I go, it's not here. Because it would say 400 feet away, 300, 200, 100. An old flag there. It was all houses. I go, it's not here. I said, uh-oh. And the guy said, oh, you know what he said? I put the wrong address in. It was just about two blocks farther down. Since the GPS had the wrong information in there, it took us to the wrong place. A lot of young people have the wrong information in here, and it takes them to the wrong place. Right? Bible college will help to put the right information in your head. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible says, Jeremiah, learn not the way of the heathen. So it's very important you put the right things in. I've been a college teacher for 32 years, and I graduated from college when I was 20 years old and started teaching when I was 21. And I say this, you will be the same person 5 years from now as you are today, except for the books you read, the people you're around, and the things you watch and listen to. Those things, the books you read, the people you're around, the things you watch and listen to, those are the shapers of your character. I'll give you another little statement. You will be someday what you are now becoming. What kind of Christian are you becoming? What kind of wife are you becoming right now? Are you reading things that someday will help you to be a better wife? You say, oh, Dr. Rasmus, so that's a long ways away. There's a prepared place for a prepared person. Men, are you preparing yourself in such a way that God can use you as a coach, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist? Or how about just a good husband and father? This is a prepared place for a prepared person. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Will you step up to the plate, so to speak? So we see that it will stretch you academically. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The Bible says to be ready to give an answer to every man who asketh you a reason for the hope that lieth within you. Hey, guys, I was traveling with a young man named Justin Reed. He's from Arizona. Good to see him. I was traveling with him, and Justin grew up in Tucson, Arizona. He was a great swimmer, very disciplined young man. Every night he does like these, I think it's PX90 workouts. He has a laptop computer. He's doing sit-ups and ab crunches and all this. He does chin-ups and all this kind of thing. And he's really taking care of himself. And we don't order a lot of dessert. We travel with a singing group. In fact, I think I ordered dessert for one time in 6 weeks because people give you a lot of junk and stuff like that if you want to eat it. But Justin, who had this discipline in his life, who worked at certain things, he decided he's going to pay the price to do certain things. He's going to work at certain things. And he reminded me of a story about a young class in ninth grade that went into biology class every day. Every day they'd go into biology class, and they would look up on the board. There was a diagram of the human body. And coming out from the diagram were little lines with the names of all the muscles, bones, ligaments, and the entire human body. And it was up there all year long, all year long, all year long. The diagram stayed up there. The teacher never referred to this diagram. But then one day, the final exam came, and the teacher came in and erased the chalkboard of this diagram of the human body with all the bones, ligaments, all the type of things that were on there. And they said, she said, here is your final exam. She gave them a drawing of the human body. She said, please name every bone and muscle in the human body. And the people said, you didn't tell us we had to know that. They say, we never studied that. Now listen carefully. The teacher says, it doesn't matter. It was up there for months. All you had to do was gather and learn the information. Now, friends, what Bible college is, it will give you a lot of information that will help you to live your life correctly. It'll help you to make right decisions in your life. Don't pass by that opportunity. It'll be a great, great help to you. So, you see, education, young people, is more than just learning what you're told. It's much more than that. It's finding out what God wants you to know, where he'd have you to grow. Number six, Bible college will introduce you to godly counsel. Bible college will introduce you to godly counsel. I already quoted the verse, Proverbs 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I met a young man who was preaching the last couple weeks. His name was Jordan Leonard. And Jordan is a really, really, really good skateboarder. I mean, he could do some amazing tricks. He was showing me all these tricks he could do, jumping off stairs and all this kind of stuff, riding rails, and he was good. And he spent lots and lots of time doing this. I said, Jordan, that's pretty cool that you can do that. I said, you could probably use this in a Parks Evangelism team to gather a crowd. But I said, I want you to think about what you're going to spend your time on. He's 16 or 17 years of age. He spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of hours working on skateboarding. How much do you think that's going to help him when he's 30? He's not going to be a Tony Hawk. He's not that good. He's not going to make a living on it. So why should he put all that time into it? I said, you might want to goof around with it an hour a day, but I said, why don't you do some things with your spare time that will count for eternity? I talked to him about reading his Bible. I talked about having a prayer life, about being soul conscious, about reading things that will sharpen him. Remember, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. You say, what would I read that would be favor with man? Well, how about a book like How to Win Friends and Influence People? Dr. Lee Robertson told me it was one of the five most influential books of his life. Because all your life you're going to deal with people. You learn about asking questions and not just talking about yourself. Because people are what ministry is all about. It's not the buildings, it's the people, you see. So you try to grow in those areas. So number six, she'll introduce you to godly counsel. Number seven, it will envelop you in a godly environment. I hope that in your 3 days that you're here at Lancaster, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I hope that God speaks to your heart. We're praying for that. We're praying that God speaks to your heart. Now, why is it important that God speaks to your heart? If you're taking notes, you might want to write down a little reference here. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. Here's what it says. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, that's to desire, and to do, to act out his good pleasure. God wants to work in you. He wants you to listen to his impulse of the Holy Spirit and obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. God has blessings for you that you cannot number, that are unbelievable. Right? And the question is, will we obey him? A lot of times, we don't obey God. A lot of times, there's things there, there's blessings there, and we miss out on those blessings because we don't listen to what God has told us to do. But it's all up to us. It's all up to us whether or not we want to listen to what we want to obey. If I were to take a guy in the back row there, let me see, do we have a junior in here? Someone's going to be a junior in high school next year? How about someone's going to be a senior in high school next year? Anyone going to be a senior next year? All right, the young man in the white shirt in the back row, why don't you come up here for a second here? All right, sir, what is your name? Eric. Eric, let me guess. You might be from what? East Coast, maybe? All right, nice to meet you, Eric. I believe I've met you before. He's from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. His dad's a friend of mine. Eric, I'm going to ask you to do something. Yeah, might be a little embarrassing here. Think I should ask Eric to do something embarrassing?
Okay.
I'm going to ask Eric to run back, touch the back wall, and be back up here in 5 seconds. All right, ready, set, go. 1,001, 1,002. 1,003, 1,004. He did it. Okay, Eric. Good job. Here's $10. You keep that. You get something for yourself while you're here. Okay? Thank you, Eric. See you later. How many think that was a pretty good deal? Pretty good deal, wasn't it? You know what God's word says? God says, if you obey me, he says, I'll give you blessings you can't number. Now, I did look at my wallet, Eric, and I was looking through some bills. I actually had four bills there. I had a 20. I had a 50, and I had a 100. You'll trade me? Eric's pretty smart. He's really not. No, just kidding. I decided to give you $10. That's all I wanted to give, especially since I knew who it was. And Eric's, he's done really well since getting out of rehab, and we're really proud of him. But I didn't want him to waste that money. But you know what? Eric didn't know what he was going to get, did he? But Eric knows me, and Eric decided to trust me. I'm not an Indian giver. That's for him. And God has blessings he wants to give each and every one of you in here. And you know what, guys? It's a lot better than $10. God has blessings that he says are without number. He talks about joy unspeakable. You can't even describe it. It's so awesome. The world's looking for joy like that. But God has something special he wants to give you. And we want to tell you about things that you should do so God can bless you. Wouldn't you like to know, what if I said I had five different things that you could do today to earn $10? How many of you would like to know what those are? The smart ones just raise their hand. If you did, you go, I'm the Geico caveman, you know. If someone came to me and said, Dr. Rasmussen, if you would just go out and stand out there by the stop sign at the corner of 40th and Lancaster Boulevard tonight and stand there for 30 minutes, I'll give you $10,000. How do you think I would do that? For $10,000? I would do that. I would do that so fast it would be unbelievable. Man, I would do it. If I had to stand on my head, I'd have someone help hold me up against the stop sign. But you know what God has to offer is more important than $10, $20, $50, or $100. God has things that will last eternally, where we can have treasures in heaven that will last forever. Where the Bible says where moth and dust don't corrupt, where thieves can't break in and steal. I hope Eric will go buy a book or something for the bookstore, or a t-shirt or something, or whatever he wants to get. That's great. But whatever he has won't last forever. Maybe if it's a book, it might even last his lifetime. Who knows? But it won't last forever. But the things that are done for the Lord will last forever. Now, Eric, you have two sisters back there, don't you? You need to probably take them to the coffee shop and get them a smoothie, because they're worth it. They're very sweet. Aren't you girls? Yes, they agree. They think that's a great idea, what to spend his money on. All right. Next. By the way, let me add one more thing about your environment, introducing you to a godly environment. The Bible says we're in the world, but not of the world. I was preaching in Hawaii in the month of May for about 2 weeks, and I saw some folks who were scuba diving. They went down into the water, but they took their environment, bottled gas, that's what scuba stands for, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. That's what scuba means. They took their bottled oxygen under the water. They knew they had to have oxygen to live. I read an article in Sports Illustrated in the last year or so about a lady who wanted to set the world record for how deep you could dive without supplemental oxygen. It was hundreds and hundreds of feet down. She died. She didn't have the oxygen she needed. By the way, a lot of you are going to try to go out in the world, and you're not going to have the oxygen you need or the spiritual knowledge you need to make it. And all of a sudden, we'll hear about tragedies or catastrophes. Say, oh, man, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? She's pregnant. Or he's on drugs. Or they're divorced. Or their life's messed up. Remember, young people, we are in the world, but not of the world. And what you learn in Bible college is what you need to have to exist in the world. Just like a scuba diver takes his oxygen tanks below the water with him because he knows he has to have that to survive. Next. Number eight, it will challenge you through preaching. How many of you enjoyed the preaching by Pastor Chappell last night or Dr. Ouellette this morning? You know what? Preaching will change you. The Bible says certain things come about only by the foolishness of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. We need preaching where man will cry aloud. Now, this morning, I'm teaching you. All right? But we need teaching and preaching. And here, you'll hear great, great preachers in a place like West Coast Baptist College. We bring in the greatest preachers in America to come in and preach in our chapel, to preach in our church, and they help the young people there. And that'll be a tremendous blessing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. When it talks about quick and powerful, it means something like stabbing into you. It gets even into the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible says. So the word of God is quick and powerful. Are you allowing the preaching of the Word of God to work in your life? Or are you saying, well, the Bible's here, the Bible's being held up, but the Bible has the answer. If you come here, you're going to hear Bible preaching, where it's taken right out of it, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's very important for you to understand that. If you do understand that, it'll be helped you. We're going to show you how to, as the Bible says, how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. To rightly divide it. Very, very important that you learn the Word of God. All right. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You're going to learn the word of God while you're in Bible college. It's so important to understand that. So it'll challenge you. It'll be a help to you in the area of preaching. Number nine. Bible college will direct you into God's will. Bible college will direct you into God's will. Let me repeat again what I said before. Bible college is a great place to train to serve the Lord, But in my case, it would show me what God wanted me to do. Very important to understand that. Most of you at 15, 16, and 17, I don't think Eric back there, my friend, who's now my friend because he has $10 of my money, but I don't think Eric knows exactly what God wants him to do right now. I didn't know when I was his age. He comes from a good church, has a good mom and dad, but I didn't know either, right? We go through stages in our life, and God shows us certain things. By the way, God will show you if you'll be listening to his word, right? This is our spiritual GPS, right? This will be a help to us. It's very, very important to understand that. It's interesting that a lot of people don't understand how easy it is to be in the will of God because they're trying to find it on their own. They're not allowing God to guide them. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. It's interesting. In November of 1975, there were 75 convicts in a prison. They were locked up in this prison. They decided to tunnel their way out. It was in northern Mexico. They had a great idea. We're going to dig out. We're going to dig at night. We're going to dig this tunnel. We're going to get out of here. And they dug, and they dug, and they dug. And on April the 18th, 1976, by the way, they've been digging for 5 months. They knew they were way under the wall. They started to say, let's start going up now. They began to tunnel up, tunnel up, tunnel up. And boom, they came up through the floor of a building. You know where they tunneled into? They tunneled into the courtroom where many of them have been sentenced to jail. There they were, in the courtroom. Policemen there, bailiffs there. They went breaking through the floor. It was in Mexico. Hola. all of a sudden, hasta la vista, back they all went. All 75 of those guys in the tunnel. You know what? They had the wrong direction. And a lot of people don't know the right direction for their life. And Bible College will help to give you the right direction. In 1976, a man was on an American Airlines flight. I fly American Airlines a lot. In fact, I've flown 1.2 million miles in American Airlines. It's been my carrier of choice for about the last 17 years. They used to have a little more legroom. They don't anymore, but that's why I originally chose it. And when you're my size, you look for every advantage you can get. But this guy was on American Airlines. He pulled a gun out before 911. It was easier to get a gun on a plane. And it took the stewardess hostage. He said, take me to Detroit. She said, that's where we're going. He said, oh, good. Put the gun back in his pants and sat down. Of course, he got arrested when he got to Detroit. We look at that, we go, what an idiot. What an idiot. And you know what, young people? A lot of young people that are in the high schools of America today, they have no idea where they're going or how they should get there. Bible College is a tremendous place to find out not only where you should go, but how you should get there. Whenever someone tells me to go a certain way, I said, give me the directions very carefully so I can put it into my GPS. Friends, we have a GPS from the Word of God that'll show us how to get the right place. And finally, number 10, it will connect you with lifetime friends. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I wonder, do you have friends that will strengthen you, that will help you, that will encourage you? I wonder if you'll do that. If you'll do that and have the right kind of friends, it'll help you to walk the right way. Remember, two are better than one. Remember that. I want to tell you a brief story, and I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to let you go. You've listened very well. By the way, I don't know the ages of everyone in here, but I commend you for acting like adults. You guys have been phenomenal today. I mean, if teachers had classes, you guys have acted like a college class today. I've been a college professor. This is my 32nd year in college work. You guys have acted as good. Most of you here, it'd be like you're in college right now. And I'm proud of you for that. But I want to tell you a story, and I want you to think about this. Many of you are thinking about right now about what you're going to do with your life. What's going to happen in my life? What's going on in my life? And what am I going to do with my life? And I want you to realize that your life is not your own. The Bible says you have been bought with a price. And you know who owns you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when someone owns something, they get to do with that something or someone, whatever they'd like. I wonder, are you willing to take your hands off the steering wheel of your life? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to try to tell God what's going on in my life. I'm going to let him tell me what to do. It's a really ridiculous thing And I, like I said, I travel a lot. I was on a plane for many hours on Friday. I was flying from Chattanooga to Dallas, and Dallas was having thunderstorms. So we sat down somewhere else. So there was a little child on the plane that was not behaving at all. And I understand it got very warm on the plane. They had to shut the air conditioning down. Finally, we were in Tyler, Texas. They let us get off the plane for about an hour and a half. This little tiny airport, there wasn't even a place to buy a newspaper. I was going to go buy a USA Today. All they had was some vending machines. Not one store sold anything there. No little news kiosks, no snack shop, nothing. And this child was having a hard time, and this mother just kept yanking on his arm. And I kept thinking, if that child would just relax and do what the mother wanted, it would be much less painful for that child. We all understand that? I just saw this Friday, Tyler, Texas Airport. And this lady next to me said, that child's going to have very long arms. Because the mom the child was about 2 or 3 years of age. But the child didn't understand was all the child needed to do was to submit to the will of the parent. And young people, let me say this. If you'll submit to the will of God, God will be better to you than you could ever imagine being to yourself. Young people, look up here for just a minute. We're almost done. Young people, God knows what's best for you. I have an earned doctorate. I don't know what's best for you. I can't tell you, Hosanna, what you're supposed to do with your life. Don't know. But God does. Eric, I don't know where you should end up 5 years from now, who you should marry. I was a little concerned about Eric's old girlfriend. She weighed over 400 pounds. And I said, Eric, why do you like this girl? Eric told me, he said, well, she can give me shade in the summer, warmth in the winter. And he didn't really say that. He didn't really say that. But we try to help him with that. But you know what? Eric someday, you're 17, Eric? He's 17 years of age. When he's about 22, he's going to be thinking about getting married. He did find one other girl who kept saying, Eric, you are so handsome. You are so good looking. And then she hit him with that little white stick she was carrying. But you have to think about that for just a little while here. But you know what? I don't know who he should marry. I don't know who his sister should marry. I don't know who you should marry or where you should serve with your life. But God knows. Let me challenge you to be in a place where God can speak to your heart. Young people, the Bible says out of the heart are the issues of life. I came to Lancaster Baptist Church as a 40-year-old man, and it changed my life. I can promise you this. When there's a spiritual fire going on, it warms up everyone around it. And if you want God to work in you and through you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, let me encourage you to be in a place where God is doing a work. And if you'll do that, it just might amaze you what God wants to do with and through your life. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll be with these young people here. I pray that you'll watch over them. I pray you'll use them. And I pray you'll bless them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I close with one last thought. Why should I go to Bible college for at least a year? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all these things should be added to you. By the way, guys, have you ever thought about the fact that Mormon kids give their God 2 years of their life? Don't you think if Mormons can give a 2-year mission, that Baptists can give Bible college at least a year? I hope you think about that. I really do. Thanks for listening so well. You guys have been a great audience. Lord bless you. Have a great day. You're welcome.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.